With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, this episode of Enough About Me is on Monday, April 1st. Oh, hey, wow! Hey, there's a lot of new something going on Starro, and vote for this guy for mayor. I'm a fucking asshole with my practical jokes on April Fool's Day. 617-779-7937. Tell me your best April Fool's joke right now. Let's go to the cows right now. Hey, Alan in Peabody, tell me your favorite story.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say how much I like the show now that you guys are talking sports all the time. But, one time on April Fool's, I stole somebody's cell phone and I put it in the dishwasher.
Wow, well, at least it was clean, right? Oh God. Anyway, so it's April 1st. It is 12:05. I am taping this in the Mix 104.1 studios, and I have some news. I have a guest on today. We'll start with the guest, and then we'll work backwards. Okay. I thought it'd be interesting to have a guest on. And I don't know if it's ever been done in podcast history. If it has, I apologize. A podcast guest who is a troll to the host. This guy, Brian Riccio, I think he'll pronounce his name if he's right or wrong. R-I-C-C-I-O. Every time I tweet, he tweets something about how much he hates me. He wishes I would die. What a fucking asshole I am. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, brutal, brutal, brutal stuff. Obviously, I don't mind it. But, I mean, it is rough. So I want to get into the mind of somebody like that who... who claims to be this crazy left-winger and feminist and all this, but at the same time just fucking hates, like, has so much hate in his heart. And as somebody who has hate in his heart, I want to have this conversation and go back and forth and read him some of these tweets and talk about some of this stuff. So I'm going to call him in about 20 minutes, and hopefully he'll answer. We'll see how that goes. So he's going to be on today. Christian Fourier as well. Alan, I think Fourier will be Thursday. Alan Dershowitz, and you might say, why is he having Alan Dershowitz on? I'm going to get into a full preamble why before I have Dershowitz on Wednesday. You'll hear Dershowitz. And then Friday, I'm trying to line up one other guest as well as a WrestleMania preview with Harrison Sheamus Minahan, the second annual WrestleMania preview with the great Harry Minahan, which I'm looking forward to very much. He is fired up for it. So let's start with some show news. Before we get into some of the stuff that I find interesting here in the world, we hired our producer, Dave Cullinane, last week. He is no longer the producer of Kirk Minahan, Enough About Me, or the future to be, I think, Kirk Minahan radio show. We have gone, as Elvis would say, our separate ways. No hard feelings. Just didn't work out. There are a lot of things I like about Dave as a producer. But I think it just didn't work out. So we hope he finds another job and does well and all that stuff. But we're back in the producer market here soon after a short stint. And people are going to say, oh, it's another sign that your show's, you know, the fucking gang that couldn't shoot straight and all that stuff. And that's, you know, I think perfectly reasonable criticism as we continue to find our legs here 6 months into this world. And I'm okay with that, but I don't agree with it. In fact, I think this is actually a demonstration of us doing something proactively and moving on before things got worse. That's all. These things happen. And I have been spoiled on my end, I have to say. The relationship I had with Ken and Chris, particularly when Chris sobered up, those are guys who, you know, I loved and trusted 100%. You know, I just knew they had my back. I had theirs. We had gone to real wars together in the radio world. And I knew they'd be there for me. I'd be there for them. And I knew that I could trust them. And that you know, is a relationship that means everything, the producer-host relationship. That's where it starts. So good luck to Dave. And the search continues. As young Mark Moroso is taking over the podcast here, part of the family, and is like jumping up and down with excitement as he was setting us up. He told me he had ideas and thoughts before we taped this, which is concerning. I will ignore those at some point, obviously, because he's one of the great dummies this country has ever produced. But he's trying his hardest, and I appreciate that. So his loyalty is noted and important for the record. So that happened. A couple of story notes here, and the second one will tie into the guest I have on today, because that was sort of what his criticism of me led to me reaching out to him. Casey Sherman actually has a pretty good story in the Herald today, and he reached out to me recently to come on as well, criticizing Conor McGregor, who I have to say, I was in Boston a couple weeks ago, and it was a weekend-long ass-friggin'-licking fest for this guy, which I didn't understand. I'm like, this guy's a creep, right? He's an asshole. You know, he's ripped on gay people before. As Casey writes, he had a sexual assault in Ireland, a case that was against him. Let me look it up right now. And the Bruins treated him like he was Jesus that weekend he was there. Of course, he goes on Nesson, and Dale gives him the full Dale. I mean, you know, Kraft hadn't been that satisfied in the state of Florida in 2019. I mean, Dale, Jesus. I know you got no pride, but this is absurd. I'm trying to look for the actual column here. It's very well done by Casey. Of course, Casey tweeted out the story, and he friggin' just like tweets out like a picture of the story. I'm like, the goddamn link. The fucking Herald's a pain in the ass enough to find the story. But I didn't get that when it happened. I didn't understand why people were bending over backwards for him. Here it is right here. It's Casey from the 31st. Please, Herald, don't do the pop-ups, Herald. Friggin' Jesus. Here we start again. Casey Sherman, here we go. Leave it alone, Herald. I'm giving you a second chance here. He dropped the first puck, Casey writes, and then was given the proverbial tongue bath by TV commentator Dale Arnold, during a fawning interview between periods. I suspect that means periods of the game. The Bruins also flooded their Twitter page with McGregor glee tweets featuring flexed arm and fist emojis. Bruins declined comment on the matter. Once again, sports seems under the guts when it comes down to it. St. Patrick's Day, got his ass kissed all day. This all occurred before reports surfaced last week that McGregor is under criminal investigation back home. According to a New York Times report, McGregor is being investigated in Ireland after a woman had accused him of sexual assault inside a Dublin hotel. But you say, okay, so that was after all that. But this is not a guy who arrived without heavy baggage. He had been, as Casey writes, arrested with a charge of felony robbery in early March for Miami. Pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct charges for attacking a bus in Brooklyn in 2018. You just wonder. Again, he had been photographed a number of Irish gangsters, including David Byrne, a former training partner who was killed inside the Dublin Hotel. Just weird, Whitey Bulger kind of stuff. So if you look up Conor, so there's some of that stuff. And you look up Conor McGregor slur. I'm doing that right now on Twitter. Let's see here. Conor McGregor apologizes for homophobic slur October, and this is the world we live in now. all I'm saying is, McGregor said about Artem Lobov, is all I'm saying is he's a the F-word, the gay slur for a homosexual. I never knew he was an F-word. Well, I would say to Dale Arnold and the Bruins and the city of Boston, if somebody said that, you know, in media today, their life would be over. If a politician said that, their life would be over. So why, and this is, again, way before this interview, why are you kissing his ass? Like, I don't, and yet you wag your finger. No problem if you don't wag your finger, but stop wagging your finger at everyone else. Like, you know, that's an issue. So that one surprised me. I mean, obviously, Dale, you know, kissing his ass and the Bruins, I don't get it. And by the way, I find him such an uncompelling character. He doesn't have a thought in his head, Conor McGregor. I don't find him interesting. I'm sure he's tough. Congratulations. But I find him to be a total bore. So the ass-kissing, the endless adulation to me wasn't even worrisome. It was just confusing and remains so. The other story is the DeMarcus Cousins story, which I haven't really had a chance to weigh in on. And obviously it has echoes of the stuff that I guess got us in trouble with Adam Jones back in 2017 when we just questioned Jerry and me and Mutt and others. Just questioned whether or not the word was said, the N-word. This one is even stranger. So again, I have no idea, none, if this kid... which Chris Haynes, who blew it, this Yahoo reporter who embarrassed himself, came out with this report I saw late at night. And, of course, the headlines are all Boston fan uses N-word to DeMarcus Cousins. And as a skeptic, I immediately had some doubts. But, you know, I read it, and Haynes had a video report where he's used the word muttered and didn't say if it was an adult, if it was a child, if it was a black person, a white person, what the context, what cousins, you know, what cousins heard, when it was said, did anybody see it, was anybody around it? Now, obviously, look, if there's any proof of it all, forget 2 years. Kick this, if he says it, kick this asshole out for the rest of his life. I don't care. Rip his tickets and tell him to go away. He's a shithead. Probably is anyway. Like, just getting into fights with players is so stupid. But once again, my immediate suspicion was, I have no idea if it's true or not, but I have doubts. A couple days later, Adam Himmelsbach comes out with a story that it wasn't muttered, it was mouthed. Nobody saw it. No video proves it. No one substantiates it. It's just him versus Cousins, word against word. And we now live in a world where if someone accuses you with no proof of doing something, you can lose your tickets for a couple of years or not get to go to a game. The guy whose seats they are, which are expensive seats, he's on probation now. If something happens to him, he loses his tickets. It's just crazy based on zero proof. No proof whatsoever. It's mystifying to me. And that's where this Riccio, whatever his name is, guy, started coming at me on Twitter. I reached out to a Globe writer, Owen Pence, who was doubting as well. And by the way, just a quick aside, he was one of these people leading the charge in this ridiculous thing against Albert Breer, who Breer last week tweeted out, they had something about Arizona State recruits, football recruits, about all the reasons they want to go, and Breer's basically joked around. One of the other reasons, and I think he alluded to without saying, is that they have good-looking girls or something. And of course, fucking Twitter flipped and called him a sexist, whereas, I mean, can we stop playing, like, pretend? The fact that there are good-looking girls at Arizona State is probably, I know if I played high school football, that would be an incentive for me, as it would be for any other heterosexual, I guess, male who is looking at schools. By the way, I have no idea if Arizona State girls are better looking or not. But when you hear Arizona State, you probably think the girls are better looking. So, like, that's real, and that's a real thing. It's not pretend, and it doesn't really matter. So stop fucking flipping out about something that's stupid. You know, all at the same time, most of these people are pretending it doesn't matter that Joe Biden is, like, smelling hair and grabbing girls from behind and kissing the back of their heads, which is fucking creepy also, running against a president who's sexually assaulted women. I mean, this world is insane. anyway, back to the Cousins thing. And again, that's all. I mean, you know, I just look at it, and by the way, he may have mouthed it, and so there you go. I mean, I'm happy to admit that. But I don't want to read about Bill Russell anymore. It's so dumb. I don't want to read about busing anymore. Some 18-year-old kid or whatever he is mouthing that word to DeMarcus Cousins doesn't have a fucking thing to do with Bill Russell's house getting defaced or busing or anything else. It doesn't. You know it. I know it. And here's the other truth, and it's ugly, but it's true. People on a certain side want this story to be true for some weird reason. And it may be, but the desire for it to want to be true is so strange that I'll never understand it ever, ever. Why would you want that out there? They're excited. They're happy about it. And, you know, I don't know. Now, I know there's a lot of places that a lot of organizations that profit over hate crimes like this. And you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars a year. It's an industry like anything else, I suppose. But very, very, very strange. Those are a couple of stories in the news that jumped out at me. And the the Cousins one is I'll just never understand it. And of course, the minute, just like last time with Jones, which, you know, Cousins, I have no idea what happened. Jones, I don't believe, heard the word. I just don't, doesn't add up. You know, the story is, like I tweeted, the kid mouthed the word to Cousins. No one else saw it. No video of it. The kid, by the way, of course, strongly denies it, which you can say, well, of course he's going to deny it, but it's part of the story. I'm not sure why his word isn't as strong as Cousins, because he's not an NBA player. I don't know. And he's banned for 2 years with no proof. It's just, it's stunned. I'm stunned by it. good feedback on the podcast last week. Stuttering John, a lot of feedback on that. It did very well. And then Jan Broberg from Abducted in Plain Sight. I saw some tweets criticizing me for being too easy on Jan in the questions, and or not following up. And I suppose I can cop to guilt on that. You know, I would say it's difficult. It's easier to give Stuttering John shit, or this guy I'm about to have on, or other people crap, than it is to be really hard on somebody, A, who has been a victim of horrendous crimes, the worst you can think of, kidnapping, rape, you know, repeated rape. I mean, her life was about that story itself. I mean, you have to come with her from a point of sympathy. You just have to, and I do. And I think her story is unbelievable. I'm still confused about, even with her answers, which she gave. But all these years later, I'm still, weeks later after seeing it, I'm still totally confused by it. Stuttering John was great. I could talk about the old Stern stuff. I feel like that could be a podcast itself, talking about these old Howard Stern stories, you know, all day long. But as I said, Christian Fourier, Alan Dershowitz, Harry Minahan, you know, and Brian Riccio. I have no idea if these are good podcasts or not, but I don't think you're going to find a different group like that coming up, and potentially one other one as well. We're trying to line up here on Enough About Me. As we continue to do these podcasts, and we're just going to load you up with these stuff and give you a shitload of content. And if you don't like it, and I see a lot of people saying, well, you know, when are you going to be on the radio? When are you going to do this? I have no idea. You know, I really don't. My suspicion is, you know, just given that nobody's foot seems to be on the gas and corporate side, that they're happy with me doing this, and they don't, the idea of me doing something live may give them concern or pause. You know, that's speculation. I don't know that. No one said that to me. These have done really well. It's different. I really enjoy doing it. I was running today. When I was done, I was walking after in a mail carrier. Is that the correct term now for a post office or for a mailman? I don't even know. A mailman pulled up and said, hey, you know, where do I find you now? Where do I hear you? And I get that all the time. And, you know, maybe that's a failure on my part. But, you know, if you're listening, you know how to do it. And I understand, and I'm okay with now versus 5 or 6 months ago, that it's just a different audience than it was at EEI. And that doesn't really bother me. Like, I don't ever want to go back to what they're doing. They have restrictions. So do I, in my own way. But they have things they feel like they have to talk about. They feel like, I think, I'm sure, at some point, they have to talk about story X, story Z in sports. At some point, they have to get to it. I am under no such restrictions in that way at all. I talk about what I want to talk about, whether it's for 45 minutes or for an hour. And if you like it, great. If you don't like it, you know, go listen to something else. It doesn't really matter to me. Go listen to another podcast. Go listen to another radio show. Go listen to Satellite. It's all out there. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me. You know, as long as my audience is there and they're loyal, fantastic. But yeah, so those two stories kind of jumped out to me, the McGregor thing and the Cousins thing. The Cousins thing, again, it's got, to me, it has nothing to do with race. It doesn't. And I know it drives people crazy. It has to do with somebody, you know, being punished with no proof. You know, no proof. And Dershowitz is going to talk about that tomorrow with me, by the way. This ties in to the Dershowitz situation, oddly. We'll get to that tomorrow. But we're in a world now where it's guilty, 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 and punishment before anybody takes a step back. I mean, just pretend this DeMarcus Cousins thing is put in front of a jury. And you have Cousins' word, which is, you know, not a guy with not the best reputation in the world, against all the other proof on the other side. No jurist in the world would sit there and say at that point, geez, you know what? I'm going to go with Cousins on this one. That's it, and that's all. I mean, he may, whatever. You know, I don't want to relitigate Adam Jones. I really don't. We did it forever. I don't care about it. It's just interesting to me. And then immediately when you see all the assholes, and those people on Deadspin are such motherfucking assholes. There's no question about that. Waving, like, they're so happy that this story comes out and they can call Boston racist and all that. And, of course, we reached out to the Deadspin writer who did that, didn't respond. Owen Pence from the Globe didn't respond. Globe never responds. This publication never responds. When it comes down to it, no guts. They're happy to take shots, and then they won't respond. I'll get into more of that as well before we begin the podcast with Dershowitz tomorrow, which the Dershowitz podcast leading up to it, the backstory in that in itself should be like a friggin' 8-episode podcast series. You're not going to believe it. It ties into everything. So we're going to need a new producer. No idea if there's ever going to be a radio show or not. I hope there is. My guess is there's going to be some form of it that's not going to be 4 hours. I'm going to tell you that. But it'll be a couple of hours and a lot of podcast stuff. And the podcast stuff will start getting more interactive and sounding more like a radio show, I think, soon. That was one of the reasons we were so excited to have a producer. So now we have to do that again and sort of start over and see where we're at. So I think it's Brian Riccio, I think his name is. I'm going to give him a call here in a couple of minutes. I'll just give you a couple of examples before I get him on of things he has tweeted to me over the years. Let me see here. I'll give you one. Here's a decent one that he tweeted at me a while ago. Here it is. We were doing the Cullen ones. Nah, that one's not actually that funny. Well, put it this way. He calls Jerry Cancer Kazoo. That's the kind of sense of humor we're talking about here. I like watching a racist dickhead like Mini Brain admitting his gay love for an old racist drunken loser like John Dennis. Okay. here it is. Here's one from May of 2018. Kill yourself then. You've obviously realized that your lot in life is to hang around this town until you get sick of your shit and you go back to being a fluffer in gay porn, which is where I believe they found you in the first place. Well, first of all, Kirk Minahan was never a fluffer in gay porn. That's an absurd challenge. Absurd thing to say. I was a quality character, never a leading man, a good character actor in gay porn. I was like, I'm trying to think of, you know, like almost like a Gary Oldman of gay porn. Like I could do British. I could do any of that stuff. I was in Foreskin Gump. I was in Edward Penishands. You know, for 5 or 6 years, I was one of the best working supporting actors in gay pornography. Never a fluffer. Didn't do anything when the camera was off. When the red light was on, it was go time. So stuff like that. So I just thought it'd be interesting. And again, if somebody else has done this before, that's on me. I don't know. But a hater, a real troll, and the host having just a conversation about it. Because I am interested to hear this thought process from this person. So we're going to do that on this episode of A Busy Week. And by the way, tweet at me, at Kirk Minn, if you have any podcast guest ideas or any thoughts about the podcast. Obviously, subscribe and give a review and go to Stitcher or iTunes and go to radio.com as well. All those places to hear enough about me. And I want more feedback on what you think about it as well. You know, I am trying hard to be more interactive here on social media as I continue to do this. And I do want, I've seen a bunch of people say, hey, would love to see you on this podcast or that podcast. Joe Rogan, I've seen a few times. Obviously, I would love to do that. So, you know, stuff like that. If you have any ideas in that way as well, happy to have that conversation. So here we go. Another week of Enough About Me kicks off. All right, we're back here. How do you pronounce your last name, Brian?
Riccio.
Riccio. Okay, so I had it right in the open. We did the the former what was it? At Trump Watching One or whatever it was. It's since been deleted. Now a different. What happened to the old Twitter account?
I had incurred the enmity of a certain White House official through a tweet, and I think that's why I had been suspended.
Okay, so let's just have this conversation, because I thought it'd be interesting as I reached out to you to have somebody who is a whatever semi-public media figure and somebody who relentlessly and endlessly, which is obviously I don't block you, so I mean, you know, that's so that's okay, but the endless sort of reaction and to every single one of them. I'm just curious as to the mindset. That's all, and it's not even really a criticism. Look, you can't, if you're me in the past, a couple of years ago, I would block people, I would do this, but now, like, I can't call people out and then become this block fucking master and this asshole and say, fuck you, don't do this, and go after this guy and whatever. So I'm just curious as to the thought process, that's all.
Well, I get that. I don't block anyone either. My issue with you, Kirk, is that I just feel that you have this tendency to hang on to things from your past, like the Murchison Leung thing.
Okay.
I guess
Brian, my point to that is, like, just don't, like, what do you, so that obviously is something that bothers me. Why do you give a shit if it bothers me so much? Like, who cares?
I'm sorry, what?
Why do you care? Like, if it bothers me so much, I hang on to it. Like, don't follow me. Why do you care if it bothers me? You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit? Like,
Kirk, in a way, I like you as a person. Okay,
I think. Let me read a tweet from May of 2018 from Brian Riccio to Kirk Minahan. Kill yourself. You've obviously realized that your lot in life is to hang around this town until they get sick of your shit and you go back to being a fluffer in gay porn, which I read before. I love watching a racist dickhead like Mini Brain admit his gay love. You like jerking Jerry and I jerk each other off while looking at pictures of gay Olympians, white ones. Mr. Big Time Media Maggot, which is me, and Cancer Kazoo, which is my friend Jerry Callahan, who's had cancer, seemed not to be able to, an old Italian guy. Mini Dick faces most dangerous case to date. So, I mean, I would say it's, when I read that, it seems difficult for me to believe. And I don't care if you like me or not, but that
I get that.
But when you tell me to kill myself, And you're welcome to say that. Others have. It's hard. Would you see why it might be hard for me to believe that before we kick this off, that I might not find that to be true?
I get that you might feel that that's not true.
Okay.
Again, I said I liked you, and do I exhibit that level of vitriol anymore towards you?
I don't know. I mean, certainly you've gone at me even the other day with the DeMarcus Cousins stuff. You were back at it, which again, Brian, I'm not. This is not something where I'm telling you don't tweet. You can tweet at me 50, 100, 3,000 times a day. I just thought the listeners would say, "Geez, this is interesting." Maybe I'm wrong. I've never heard a conversation like this between sort of not an unknown, but whatever you do, whatever I do, sort of this back and forth before between a guy who does this relentlessly. And somebody, because I think most people are like, well, I'm in the block. I mean, I'm guessing you've been blocked by almost everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
not almost everyone, but still.
You know what I mean, though. I mean, so, you know, I'll put it this way. Why do you call Jerry Callahan, who, you know, is my friend, Cancer Kazoo? Where's the humor in that?
I'm not trying to be humorous.
Well, what's the point of it?
I'm trying to make the point that Jerry is a racist.
I don't think that's true. And secondly, by calling him Cancer Kazoo, you're making a point that he's a racist?
Yes.
What, you're by calling him Cancer Kazoo?
Let me ask you a question. If he's going to say hurtful things and expect no blowback, I'm
not saying he doesn't expect any blowback, but I'm saying I'm under, like, where's the humor in that?
I'm not trying to be humorous.
Oh, okay. And the point of telling me to kill myself is what?
No, Kirk. Let's just get something straight. I'll apologize for those remarks, and I tried to apologize for those remarks when I reached out to you privately after your little meltdown and said, I'd love to sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, we had a nice call. We had a nice back and forth we messaged each other back and forth.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
I know you've had your issues,
so
mental health, right?
Like, I apologize.
Right. You've had your mental health issues. So have I. And that's why
exactly.
I'm not, I'm not coming to the point
because,
here.
Kirk, I'll admit it. At first, I thought you were just another one of those run-of-the-mill right-wing morons.
Well, I'm not, but okay? I'm not a Republican.
Huh?
I'm not a Republican.
I know. I didn't know that. Did
okay.
I know that?
I have no idea.
I didn't really know much about
you. So you didn't know much about me, but yet you're reaching, you're saying these things about me, not knowing me at all? Like, at least do some research.
No, what I knew was what the public perceived of Kirk Minahan, okay? But as I started to study more and more about you, I started to see more and more of myself in you.
Don't say that.
That's why I have tempered down that initial criticism, because I'm a lot worse to a lot of other people, and half the reason I got suspended from that first account was because I was so caustic. Is that the word I should
But what's, but I'd ask you, what's the gain in tweeting things like that to people? Like, what gets accomplished? I'm all, by the way, do it all you want. I'm sure as hell never, like, what gets done? Like, so, for instance, like, you know, you've tweeted for years now that I'm a racist. And I'll admit, I take that personally, because I'm not. And you can say you're not all day, but when somebody does it, the argument's already over, but yet you offer no proof. You have no proof of that. None.
You tell me you sat next to a virulent racist for years.
Who? Jerry Callahan?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. I'm telling you, bro, honestly, this is he's a good friend of mine. I've been with him, you know, through some really tough times in each of our lives. I've seen him around all kinds of people. The last thing in the world, Jerry Callahan, is he, you know, do I think has he been super loyal to me? That's a different conversation. But he's a great guy, and do I think he's a racist? I absolutely do not. Are there things when you're on the radio for 4 hours a day for 25 years that you're like a mulligan on? Sure. Was he the one, by the way, when you go back and look at that moment, that really was a lead voice in that? He was not. And he's not a virulent racist because he's a Republican. He's not a virulent racist because he voted for Trump. He's just not. I've been with him. He's not. And that is something, whether it's Adam Jones or DeMarcus Cousins, and as I've said a million times, if there's any proof on those guys at all, I am happy. Put him in jail. I don't care. But I'm so sick of the racist charge. It is such bullshit with no proof. None.
Kirk, how many black hosts have shows on WEEI?
How many black hosts have shows in Boston?
No, I'm not talking. We're not talking about.
How many? Well, how many? How many black hosts have shows on? How many? Brian, how many black? I'll answer the question in a second. How many black hosts have shows on 98.5?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay, zero. Michael Hawley was on EEI forever. Jermaine Wiggins is now a regular on WEEI. Larry Johnson has been a host on WEEI forever. forever.
Full-time host, has his own show.
He was on the weekends, but he's been on the Saturday morning weekend show, which is the Lee weekend
Saturday
show.
Saturday morning weekend.
And he was on, hold on, okay. and he was on with Glenn for 15 years. Michael Hawley was a host on the station for 15 years. Jermaine Wiggins is now, and where, what show did Jermaine Wiggins start going on first?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, since you're throwing these, lobbying these bombs out there, on Jerry and Mutch show, I know because I talked to those guys, at Jerry's idea. Jerry wanted to have him on. We tried to have Gary Washburn on. He wasn't great. Believe me when I tell you, if there's a black guy or woman on who's good, we're going to try it. Or they're, not me, not my show anymore. They'll try and have him on. They'll be happy to have them on.
Kirk,
if there was never a black person on the station ever, which, you know, if they're good, they should be on, does that mean Jerry Callahan is racist?
No, I'm not saying that.
You have a radio show, right? You have a radio show?
I'm not trying to make the two.
Right.
Yes.
What's it called?
No, I don't have a radio show. I do not have a radio.
What's
show.
You have a Young Jerks thing or something?
No, that's a friend of mine's show that I was on,
okay,
occasionally.
What color is that guy?
He's white.
Oh, that's weird. So you must be racist then.
No, not at all.
Well, why not? I mean, why don't you demand to get a black guy in the studio with you? Go. That's so it's so disgusting,
okay,
that you would allow that to happen. It's going to be hard for me to continue this conversation with you, but that's fine. So again, let's remove Jerry away from this for a moment, as stupid as that is. And I've seen you do this the other day. You did it again with DeMarcus Cousins. When all
let
I want,
you, look,
ask,
you ask,
ask sure, ask me whatever you want.
Experience with racism in the city of Boston. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Winchester.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Revere, and then I moved to the Charlestown. Then I moved to the Bunker Hill Projects during the bus. Okay. Then I was the only white kid in an all-black record store for 3 years.
Okay.
Okay. I grew up hearing that the N-word every day of my life.
Okay.
So when you turn around and try and say that it didn't happen to Adam Jones.
I don't think it happened to Adam Jones.
Garden.
I didn't say that. No, Brian, first of all, I didn't say that. I said, I don't believe it happened to Adam Jones, okay, because I've been to Fenway. I'm guessing you have as well. I've been to Fenway, I don't know, 250 times.
How many black people you see at Fenway at a game?
250 times in my, not a lot. Not a lot. You're right,
okay,
about that.
All right.
250 times, I'm going to guess, conservatively in my life. And I've been to that spot where Adam Jones claimed. And for it to be that loud, you and I both know a lot of people would have heard it. And I don't want to relitigate it. There was nothing on social media about it. Nobody claimed to hear it. Fine. We disagree. The DeMarcus Cousins thing, same thing. I'm not even sure, Brian, when you get past all your initial rage, that you and I necessarily even disagree. All I'm saying is, so the story changed. At first, Chris Haynes from Yahoo had this big story that it was muttered. Then it changed to mouthing. And all I'm saying is, if you're going to kick somebody out for 2 years from TD Garden and then threaten to remove the tickets from the person who owns that seat, when there is no proof and it's just an accusation, I'm not a big fan of accusation only. I like proof. That's all. Now, if there's any proof at all, and as I said in the open, I taped the open before we did the interview, if it happened, then, and by the way, it very well may have. If it happened, fucking kick him out forever. My point is, I just want proof. That's all. That's it. Same as anything else. You know, we live in a world now, and as great as Me Too is, and it's great, I think in some ways it's also led to a you-don't-need-proof society now where it's completely flipped. I like a little bit of proof. That's all. If in your mind that makes me a racist, well, then I guess that's the case, but I think that's nuts.
Well, it's not necessary that I think. Kirk, when MHV had me on, I said I don't necessarily believe that you're a racist.
What?
You're just a guy who hangs around with a lot of racists.
A lot of racists. Okay, who else?
Yeah. Howie Carr.
I don't hang around with Howie Carr, and I don't think he's racist. But go ahead. Who else?
Oh, come on. He's admitted that he's a proud racist.
When did Howie Carr? When did he?
Maybe jokingly.
Okay, maybe jokingly. Okay, I don't know him. I've spent zero time in my life hanging around. I've done two podcasts.
Record your thing at his studio?
I've done. No, I don't. As I said today, I'm at the Mix 104 studio. I don't record with Howie.
Okay.
I recorded.
Okay.
Recording at somebody's studio is also not hanging out with him. So a lot. Okay. So Jerry, who I disagree with. Howie, who else?
Dino,
who I'm not friends with at all. And by the way, famously not friends with him. And I don't think, I've never heard him say a racist thing ever. So who else?
You don't read his Twitter timeline?
I don't. I actually don't. He blocked me, so I don't follow him.
What?
He blocked me, so I don't follow him.
Why would he block you and not me?
Well, because we had a big falling out. Maybe he unblocked me since, but I don't follow him. Who else?
That's about it.
Okay, so a lot are three of which all I disagree with. So I guess so this is sort of what I'm saying is why I don't really get angry at you when I go back and forth, because I sort of know that you're coming from a point where you don't know what you're talking about. So at least you'd agree that you don't really know what you're talking about. You said at the beginning, you said you didn't know.
No, I don't know enough about the station. Okay, I feel I know enough about the personalities involved. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
So what more would you like me to say?
No, I'm just curious as to the thought process. That's all. I guess, you know, you've done that. So you don't have any specific examples of me being a racist, though.
I like how you always seem to get into that.
Yeah, always getting those tricky specifics when somebody lobs a charge at me. What's that?
Because you and your minions have this little thing where you say, we need proof. We need.
I know, it's so weird, Brian. I apologize for that. I hate needing proof for stuff. I know that makes me sort of an asshole, and I feel bad about that. When somebody lobs horrible charges at me, I then respond with some proof, and then when none's given to me, and they say, you're always asking for proof. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, how would you feel when you're a court of law on the other side said that?
You don't come out and use the N-word. Okay?
Oh, my God.
Don't sympathize with racists. Okay.
I don't simply like who.
Gary Callahan is a racist.
All right. Let's move. Fine. Okay. Whatever. It's nothing to do with me. Talk about me.
Support for Jeff Deal alone.
I didn't vote.
Come on.
What support did I give Jeff Deal?
No, I'm talking about Jerry.
Talk to Jerry then. This conversation is about me. Me.
Okay. All right. Fine. But you're the one who said. Give me examples.
Yeah, examples is not the Jerry support. The examples of Kirk Minahan being a racist is not that Jerry Callahan supported Jeff Deal. See, this is what I'm talking about. Hold on, Brian. This is what I'm talking about with this stuff. This is what people always say. Oh, move on. Get over it. Why do you get so worked up about this? Because this is the exact people that I'm dealing with when people throw these bullshit charges out. Go ahead, Brian.
Kirk, if you hang around with racists, people are going to think you're a racist. That's all.
People like you might, and I don't hang around with racists, but people like you might think that. But again, I will ask you,
Brian,
I'm going to ask you one last time.
Why do you think,
Brian, one last time. Yeah, people like you, one last time. A specific example of me, not my friends, not people I used a studio for, me, Kirk Minahan.
And I've just said to you, Kirk, like I've said before, I don't. Have any?
Oh, okay. Okay, that's all I need to hear. Okay, we're good. Okay.
Other than the fact that
right,
you
I plant my pal around with them all the time. Whether you're any other issues with me? I brought you on for me and sort of this endless retorting that you do to me. What else? Anything?
I think that you should. I think that you're a talented broadcaster,
oh,
and that you should let
you.
Go of this feud you seem to be carrying on continuously with. Murchison and Shirley Young. And
Shirley, who your friends with Shirley, correct?
Okay.
You're friends with Shirley, is that correct?
No, I'm not friends with Shirley at all.
Okay.
Okay. We've met, and in fact, the second or third time I've ever encountered her on Twitter, I called her a shill, and she said to me, you could call me a shill all day long. I don't care.
She's got thick skin like you wouldn't believe, no question.
Okay.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on, and I mean... You know, the thought process is always interesting to me, and my suspicion
of
is
course.
You're going to get banned again on Twitter because you're going to do something that you shouldn't do. And
no,
then you'll be...
No. If you bring up violence and anything, that's how.
Well, did you suggest that someone should die or something?
Well, no, that's a little different. Okay?
What did you do?
I was talking. I said, why don't you bring the kids down to the border and take a shot at a few illegal immigrants? Okay.
President?
Kirk, I apologize for those remarks, okay? I apologize for those early remarks because I thought you were just another one of those right-wing lunatics, okay? But I've come to discover that the things that I think separate us are actually bind us in a lot of ways, and I would love nothing more than to sit down and discuss movies with you.
Oh, okay? Yeah, me too. I would love to. Maybe we'll go to one day, and we'll have dinner after, and we'll talk about the movies. That sound good?
I would love that, Kirk.
Sure.
Because I honestly, you know, I would like to see you succeed, okay? I would just like to see you put a lot of that old bullshit behind you and put your focus on things that I feel that your particular viewpoint could be used on.
Okay. Well, okay. I appreciate the feedback, and this is an interesting look at sort of, are you comfortable being called a troll? Do you think that's a reasonable charge?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm a troll because I have 200 followers.
If
I had 4.5 million... I'd be a voice of authority.
Okay. Well, what do you do professionally? I'm always curious.
I'm retired.
How old are you?
57.
Well, what did you do for a living?
I was an executive chauffeur for 30 years in the city of Boston.
Okay. Are you married?
No.
No kids?
Nope.
That's good. Do you have a partner? I mean, is that your...
Nope. Single right now. I broke up with somebody a few months ago.
Man, woman? Which one?
Well, woman.
Woman. Okay. You've been married before?
No, never been married.
So what is a Brian day? What's the life of a troll? What's how does it work?
I get up in the morning, and I do social media till noon.
What does that mean?
You know, I get up around 8:39, you know, do my Twitter, check Facebook, read the papers, you know, online. And
Then noon happens, and then what?
Then, you know, I'll go out, hit a dispensary, take a walk.
Yep, okay, sure.
Smoke some weed, see some friends, come home, cook myself some dinner, and then watch the Nets till about 10 o'clock and go to bed.
Do you feel like you are on Twitter too much? Do you feel like it's a dangerous thing for you?
No, I'm actually cutting back on the Twitter, focusing more on doing my podcast.
Oh, what's this? What's the podcast?
It's going to be called The Wiftick Hour.
What is the plot of this? What is the point? What is this?
Well, the Wiftick is W-T-F-D-I-C.
Ah, okay.
What the fuck do I care?
Ah, I got you. This is the one you had asked me to come on before, or no?
I'm telling stories of some of the stuff I've listened to in the backseat for 30 years.
Oh, and this is the one you asked me to come on before when you wouldn't want to come on live?
No, that was the Young Jerks.
The Young Jerks. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And did you understand?
No, I'd love that.
I'd love to do that.
I get this going, I'd love to have a sit face-to-face with you at some point.
So I had originally asked you to come on, and you said you wouldn't come on my podcast until I went on the Young Jerks.
That was different. That was Mike's thing.
Probably stupid, right? In retrospect, would you say or no?
Huh?
Probably stupid, right? I mean, it would make more sense for you guys to come on mine and get promotion than me to go on yours. You know what I mean?
Either or. I mean,
I would say.
See, Mike listens to your station. That's why. Mike
It's not my station. Not my station.
Well, he listens to EEI. Mike listens to all that stuff. I never listen to any of it.
And you hope I don't die. That's our big takeaway.
No, I don't hope you. You got a wife and kids.
I wish I died a year ago. I'm just trying to make sure.
I cannot apologize enough.
Okay, fine.
Apologize.
All right. Brian, I forgive you. You can tweet at me again if you'd like. It doesn't bother me at all. Keep tweeting.
To me, it's constructive criticism.
Okay, well, I suppose so. Okay. All right, Brian, we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. You'll be welcome to be part of the family. See you.
Okay, kids. Talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.